I'm Dr. Barbara Becker Holstein, author of The Enchanted Self, a positive therapy, and originator of the Enchanted Self concept. I'm delighted to be back with you. The Enchanted Self is a growth-promoting system combining a positive review of your life story with lifestyle changes that you can make, leading to the experience of life as more joyful, authentic, and meaningful. It does concern the mind, body, and the spirit. Yes, it's a way of looking at the glass as half full rather than half empty. And it's a way of seeing yourself as extraordinary rather than ordinary. And recognizing that you contain within yourself the personal memories that are your gemstones of wisdom. They are the ways with which you can reinvent yourself again and again. You are the only person that has had your unique experiences, feelings, reactions, and thoughts. Thus, you are the holder of the key to unlock your own enchantment.
This is on the line.
Each week, we take a journey together, usually visiting with a guest who has traveled the personal road of growth and enchantment. These guests share some of their journeys with us and also give you an opportunity to transform information that you hear into ways to work for your road of enchantment. Today's guest represents the spiritual dimension of human growth and potential. In order to live a life of joy and authenticity, many of us need to get in touch with the blessings and the sense of harmony that the universe can offer. Judith Frankel Leventhal is the co-author of two inspirational books. They are Small Miracles, Extraordinary Coincidences from Everyday Life. Judith Frankel Leventhal is a psychotherapist in private practice and lectures widely on a variety of subjects. Welcome, Judith.
Hi. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yes, I'm so delighted you could be with me. I so enjoyed reading your books, all the stories, and they've helped me fall asleep at night oftentimes, feeling assured and protected by a loving God who's busy working on the harmony of the universe.
Mm.
I wonder if you can tell our audience some of your own journey, maybe your growth as an adult, as it may tie into some of the transformational moments that have led to you your own development leading to writing these books.
Sure. Well, I am actually first and foremost a psychotherapist.
Uh-huh.
And in becoming a psychotherapist, I found that I had to become very much in touch with myself in order for me to facilitate others in their growth. And so somehow that led the way for me to become an author of the book Small Miracles and Small Miracles 2. Because in becoming in touch with myself, I then became also, of course, at the same time, in touch more with the universe. And in becoming in touch with the universe, I realized the magic and the mystery and the wonderful harmony that we can have with the universe when we are in line with it.
That sounds so wonderful. Can you go on just a little bit more what that means? People are probably sitting on the edge of their seats. They want to know more.
Well, you know, till now, coincidences have been relegated to the paranormal. And people tend to slough them off as mere happenstance. We shrug it off as just, you got to hear this thing that happened to me. What a coincidence. And with that, it kind of dies. That's it. That's the end of it. But in the book Small Miracles, we're here to say that is just the beginning. When a coincidence happens, it's our opportunity to step back, open our eyes and say, what just happened? That was a tap on the souls, on our shoulder from God. There is a God in our life. There is a spirit in our life looking over us, I like the way you said that when you go to sleep at night, when you read these stories, you feel like you're not alone, that there's someone watching over you, that higher being, that higher power, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the more in touch we are with our own true nature and our own soul, the more in touch we are then with the universe at large, and we see that coincidences are actually miracles.
Yes, I'm sure that is ringing true to many people. Can you jump, leapfrog from this and share with us either a little coincidence, maybe along your own growth, that suddenly you plugged in as much more, or something from a friend, family member, but let's make it very concrete because people love to hear the actual things.
Okay. So here I am, I'm a psychotherapist, and I've been pursuing this career path for quite some time, and then a friend of mine and I are sitting over lunch, and we're talking, and a very dear friend of mine, Yitzha Halberstam, and we're talking, and I told her, you know, I have so many coincidences in my life. Wouldn't it be interesting to write a book about it? But, you know, lots of people say, wouldn't it be interesting to do this or that? And that's the end of it. Well, my friend thought that was just the beginning. Well, she says, yes, I think it is an interesting idea to write a book about coincidences that happen to people in their life. And why don't we get together and do just that? Well, I thought, that's very far-fetched. I'm a psychotherapist, and I have my career planned, and I don't know if I really should follow this lead to become an author of this book, and how much success will we have with it, and I wasn't really quite sure. But I had been training myself to pay attention to the coincidences that happened to me and not read them as coincidences, but rather as messages sent to me from up above. Like a letter that you get, a personal letter. What do you do when you get a personal letter in the mail? Do you throw it away? Of course not. You open it up and you read it. Well, that's what I've been training myself to do, to read the messages, the coincidences that have come my way. Well, here she is asking me if I want to write a book, and I wasn't quite sure if I should go ahead with it or not. I went back and forth and really wavered on it for quite some time. And then a couple of coincidences happened, one right after the other, seemingly meaningless. But the fact that they happen one after the other, I'll just give you one of the two of the little coincidences. For example, I was expecting my first child at that time, and I was sitting at a board meeting, and around me were a number of colleagues, and our supervisor said, you know, I just want to congratulate quite a few of you are expecting at this time, and why don't we just ask you, everyone here, what are your due dates? And what was unbelievable, because I was only my third month and I didn't even know other people were expecting yet, we were all due within 3 days of each other.
Mm.
Like seven of us due within 3 days of each other. That was coincidence number one. Coincidence is number two, again, nothing much to talk about. It wasn't unbelievable, but it was another coincidence where I bought a piece of furniture, a very odd piece of furniture. One out of every, I don't know, I can't even imagine how many other bureaus there are like that in the United States. It's a very unique handmade. And I went to a friend of mine for a weekend, and I come into her den, and there she had the same exact piece of furniture that I had just purchased. That was coincidence number two. There were three or four others over just a two-day period, and I said, sis, it's a message. I read it as a message. God, spirit, higher power, the universe out there, whatever you want to call it, some power is sending me a message that I need to go ahead and write the book about coincidences.
That is so interesting.
I read it, and now we sold 500,000 copies.
Yes, and that's marvelous. We're going to take a break, and afterwards I want you to share with the audience some of the stories from the book and some other things related to this wonderful coincidence world.
Sure. I'd love to.
we're talking about the miraculous quality of coincidences as messengers. And Judith, welcome back.
Thank you.
I wonder if you could go on and maybe talk a little bit about how people out there can just try to notice their own lives a little differently through a more miraculous lens. Do you have some suggestions, maybe from your perspective as a psychotherapist?
Well, the first thing that I did that helped me notice the coincidences is that I started writing them down, and I still have that original journal. And oftentimes I just tell my clients in general to journal, because when we write in a journal, it really helps us get in touch with our inner self. And certainly, another advantage is that when you start seeing the journal over time, you start noticing patterns. Because we all have our scripts. We all have certain things that we tend to repeat in our lives. And when you start writing coincidences down, somehow it opens up something. There's some kind of shift that happens. I can't tell you how many times people have bought the book Small Miracles and said, well, you know, I'm buying it because I want to read coincidences that happen to others, but I don't really recall having had any coincidence happen to me. And so many times I hear back from these very same people who read the book, and somehow either it prods their memory or all of a sudden coincidences start happening.
Right, and I think you may be saying also that we often are very patterned, and a lot of things we keep repeating aren't always that healthy for ourselves.
Right.
That as we start to watch for some of these small, wondrous things happening, and we see that there's more of a universal play of some sort going on that even touches our lives, that it may give us more courage to break away from our patterns. And I call it singing the song of your soul, when you can really become very authentic.
Mm.
And it seems like you're talking about that.
Yes, sort of absolutely.
Courage.
Mm-hmm. I love that phrase, singing the song of your soul.
Well, thank you. It is hopefully the title of my second book, which I'm working on now. So
very
thank
nice.
You very much.
Very nice.
I also imagine that you would encourage someone, say, who was seeing you, or if you were lecturing, someone that may have had severe mental problems, to perhaps feel comfortable in, say, not looking, overly looking, maybe just sort of accepting the notion that what will come into his or her life will be enough, you know, because sometimes people feel, sometimes when people are not emotionally strong, they can't handle as much of the magic.
Mm, that's true. You need to have some vessel to be able to contain it.
Right, right.
From Gestalt, if I could quote from Gestalt therapy,
sure.
Don't push the river. It flows by itself.
Yes, yes.
We don't have to push coincidences, push magic into our life. Just kind of step back and watch it.
Yes, that's
and it
wonderful.
Flows. It flows throughout our life. There is magic throughout our life without needing to push it, without
yes.
needing to contrive any.
Good. You know,
the more aware we are, we kind of just see it. And also, the greatest magic of all, as you see, I'm sure, when you work with your clients and when you speak and when you lecture, is that, and when you write, the greatest magic of all is when we're in touch with ourselves.
Right.
That is the greatest magic, because if we're truly, truly connected to our inner self, to our inner soul, that's when we see things so clearly. Life is alive. Things are alive. That's the greatest magic.
And the greatest gift we can give ourselves, because even a few moments of that feeling of integration and feeling connected at some soul level to the universe is so therapeutic. It's worth every physical possession, you know, anything you can buy. It's such
it's
a great
more
feeling.
Than any physical possession. And unfortunately, a lot of people, there's this idea that if I only had a nicer car, a bigger house, a more wonderful vacation, more beautiful clothes, a more expensive watch, somehow that'll gratify me. Then I'll be happy. You know, I know someone very dear to me who said when she first came to America, she was a Holocaust survivor, and she said when she first came to America, she looked at people with a certain status of car. She said, oh, well, if only I had the Cadillac. And then she got a Cadillac, and then she said, oh, if only I had a limousine, a chauffeur-driven limousine. And then she had that, and she realized finally it doesn't come from that.
Right.
That's not
right.
Where the happiness
right.
comes from. The joy, the real joy, is from, like what you said, getting in touch with your authentic self.
Well, when we come back, let's try to give the audience one very brief story out of your book, or at least whet their appetites with a story, because
sure.
they're always so much fun to hear.
Sure.
Go right ahead and tell us a story, Judith.
Sure. So there are two single people set up on a blind date with each other. And this is in the late 1950s. And both had recently immigrated from Europe. So the woman looks at her date and says, tell me, where were you during World War II? So all of a sudden the man's face takes on a very sad and sorrowful look. And he says, I had a horrific experience during World War II. He says, I was in concentration camp. And she says, tell me, I want to hear about it. And he says, oh, okay, I'll tell you. He says, I was in concentration camp. There was darkness all around me. I saw horrific scenes. I saw the dark side of humanity. And as he's describing what he had lived through, a slight smile crosses his face. The woman says, tell me, what is that smile? And he says, oh, it's just a memory I'm recalling. She says, tell me, I want to hear it. He says, well, one particular day I was walking by a barbed wire fence, and my eyes caught sight of a beautiful girl on the other side of the barbed wire fence. And somehow we managed to exchange a few words, and she was able to pass me an apple through the wires. And he says, I remember looking at that apple. It was like a ray of sunshine entered into my dark universe. The next day, he says, again, I passed by that barbed wire fence, and again she was there. And wouldn't you know it, she passed me another apple. And this went on for a few days in a row. But one day, I looked at this beautiful girl, and I said, tomorrow, you're not going to be able to pass me an apple anymore because they're sending me on to another concentration camp. With that, he turned away and he said, I cried because I knew I'll never see her again. You'll never see her again, the woman said. Look at my face. Don't you recognize me? I was that beautiful girl on the other side of the fence. The man could hardly believe his eyes. He looked at this woman, who he thought was a stranger, and recognized that this indeed was that beautiful girl. And he looked at her and he said, I left you then. I never want to leave you again. Will you marry me? And she said, of course I'll marry you. And the two of them did, in fact, get married. And just last year, they celebrated their 50th anniversary on the Oprah Winfrey Show. It was a Valentine's special. And Oprah looks at the distinguished gentleman and says, tell me, what do you want to say to your wife? And he looks at her with tear-filled eyes, and he says, you fed me in concentration camp. You fed me for 50 years, and now I'm hungry always for your love.
It's so beautiful. What an exquisite story of a coincidence that certainly shows the hand of God.
What I love about the story is that here was this young boy surrounded by darkness, by death.
1 minute to wrap.
It could not have gotten worse. And you know what? Right there, in the darkest moment of his life, was already the seeds of a brighter tomorrow. And that really is the truth about our life. Even in the darkest moments, there is already the seeds planted for a brighter tomorrow.
That's right. I believe that, and I think you've been able to share that fabulously with our audience. Thank you so much, Judith, co-author of Small Miracles. I know anyone who hasn't bought this book yet will be going out as soon as they get away from the radio and buying it.
I just want to mention that the authors on the book are Yitta Halberstam, that's H-A-L-B-E-R-S-T-A-M, Halberstam, Yitta Halberstam, and myself, that's Judith Leventhal, Small Miracles and Small Miracles 2. I just want to tell all your listeners that I hope if you pick up the book, you're going to be inspired by it. I know you'll be inspired. It's been so wonderful to be on your radio show and to have this interview with you.
Thank you so much, and I hope you will return, and we will get to know each other over the years. Thank you so much,
Judith. I'd love to be back again. We are writing books 3, 4, and 5, and we are looking for stories. So if you do pick up the book and you do have stories, send them our way, because we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Goodbye for now.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.